Why are police photographing our license plates?
What are we doing for veterans returning home damaged physically and mentally, suffering from depression, homelessness, and suicide?
Why did the Supreme Court deposit corporate money into our electoral process?
Should we redefine middle class as working poor? Or is it just another Wall Street merger?
What's really behind new voter picture ID laws in certain states?
Why aren't NBC, ABC, CBS, and Fox asking these questions?
Welcome to the Reasonable Voice radio show. I'm your host, Marcello Rolando, The Reasonable Voice. The mission of The Reasonable Voice is to connect the dots between politics and finance, the need for better and more affordable education, our humanity, world peace, and of course, the arts, which we then gladly provide our listeners, the voting public, as informative food for thought to provoke their self-determination and appetite for equal economic opportunity and justice for all without truth decay. The Reasonable Voices are advocates prioritizing education, preserving our history, leading by example for a peaceful and prosperous world by evoking and embracing both creative artists and political unity as solutions to our challenges.
Hello and welcome to the Reasonable Voices News Talk Radio program. I'm your host, Marcello Rolando, The Reasonable Voice, and our Reasonable Voice today is my good friend and political activist, Andrea Miller, returning to update us on her continued work to help make our electoral system work for all eligible to vote in every election, in every state of the Union, all of the time. But first, let me remind everyone of who the Reasonable Voice guest is today and what a difference she has made in getting out our vote in several states, making it easier for those who are legally allowed to vote to do so without being subjected to un-American resistance, reminding us perhaps of some of our less than democratic voting history. Andrea Miller is the founding board member and executive director of the Center for Common Ground. She's the founder and president of National Women's Political Caucus of Virginia, an organization that endorses women candidates for public office, and we'll be definitely talking more about that. Andrea is an elections strategist, as well as an IT and political director, who designs and administers digital phone banks and texting programs. I want her to update us also on her texting programs, but I digress. From 2013 to 2015, Ms. Miller led the Progressive Roundtable on Capitol Hill, bringing together members of Congress, activists, and nonprofit leaders. Andrea Miller's expertise is in voting rights, climate justice, and the Equal Rights Amendment. And Andrea has successfully advocated for legislation on both federal and state levels. In 2018, Andrea Miller was the Democratic nominee for the Virginia 4th Congressional District, and with a small staff and limited budget, won 40% of the vote. So it is with great pride and thanksgiving that I welcome back our Reasonable Voice today, Andrea Miller. Andrea, how are you? Did I get it all right?
Well, it was 2008, not 2018, so we need to go back 15 years for my congressional run. But that was the only thing, Marcello. It is so great to see you. After all, who can remember 15 years ago?
Yeah.
We're doing really well to remember last week.
That's true, absolutely. Well, it's so good to hear your voice again. I know we talk on the phone from time to time, but not as much as we used to. We're both so busy doing our thing. But I'm glad to have you on the show because then everybody hears. You know, I've often said to you that what I love most about you as a guest is that you explain these things in a way that any of us can understand, and that's what's important. So let's start out with, before we get to the big topics today, or the bigger topics, I should say, I'm curious about explaining to all the people out there who perhaps have only heard of IT, as opposed to what that really means. Can you tell us how you, that particular talent of yours, you use to administer digital phone banks and those texting programs I mentioned?
Well, the reason digital and IT is so important in what we do is we have volunteers all over the country. And if we were trying to shift paper phone numbers and paper scripts around, it really wouldn't work. So the phone banks that we use are far sophisticated to what the Democratic Party uses, so that when people make calls, they aren't making calls using their phone. They're making calls using their computer. We've all been on Zoom. We all know that you can talk to other people over your computer. Well, we just make use of that so that when people are joining our phone banks, they put in their email address, they choose what organization they want to get credit for the phone calls they make, and then the voter information and the script appears on the screen. So we're doing Get Out the Vote right now for Virginia. So there are three ways that people can vote. You might early vote, meaning early voting started on May 5th and it goes until June 17th. Some people might want to wait and go on Election Day. Other people might want to vote by mail. Well, the information for each one of those is different. In our phone banks, when we ask the voters, when do you plan to vote? Are you going to vote early vote? Are you going to vote by mail or vote on election day? You choose whatever the voter says, and then your screen adjusts with information just for that topic, early voting, and for that individual county.
Wow.
We also do the same thing with our text banks. And I want to give you some really, really great information that we got the other day. We saw it on Virginia Public Access Project. Now, we have been working very, very hard in Senate District 13. Now, these are primary elections. So Senate District 13 is Delegate Lottery's heirs, former Delegate Lottery's heirs, running against incumbent Senator Joe Morrissey for that Senate seat. Our group, we've done postcards, but we've also done phone banking and we've done texting. That particular Senate district has the highest number of early votes of any district in the state.
Wow.
They have over 1,300 people have already voted in that district.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
All right.
Yes, yes.
Well, that certainly answers my questions. I knew you only get better technologically anyway because of that combination of your political expertise and activism and the fact that you are an IT person. It's really a great combination, and it helps everyone who's exposed to it. But I didn't know you could just nail it so pinpointed as you do now. And I'm glad I asked the question. Let's put it that way. Great. All right. Well, I would like, let's move on to, you know, my primary reason for asking you, no pun intended, for being on the show today. What exactly is the National Women's Political Caucus? And should I be ashamed that I don't know that it exists?
Well, it has been a quiet group. I'm president in Virginia, and we're about to get a lot noisier. We've endorsed 28 candidates.
Oh, wow.
The National Women's Political Caucus is a 501c4. So in Virginia, that gives my other organization, Center for Common Ground, a C4 partner. So Center for Common Ground is 501c3. When we are doing get out the vote work, we either have to mention no candidates or we have to mention all the candidates. We can't ever appear to be favoring candidate A over candidate B. And if you're going to work in a primary election, and if you got, and I'm just talking about the Democratic side right now because there are very few Republican primaries in Virginia. In order to be endorsed by National Women's Political Caucus, you must be pro-choice. We looked. We could not find a single Republican running for anything in the General Assembly that was willing to say they were pro-choice. So this cycle, we didn't endorse any Republicans. So that's why we're not engaged in any Republican primaries. If we had been able to find even one, we would have gotten involved. So we're only working right now in the Democratic primary. Now, in Senate District 13, the incumbent senator who says he's a Democrat claims to be a pro-life Democrat. Well, in Virginia, safe and legal abortion is on the line. Virginia is the last southern state where abortion is safe and legal. We only have a two-person majority in the Virginia Senate, and we know abortion bans are going to be coming up in the next session. So we want somebody who is most definitely pro-choice, and that would be former Delegate LaCherise Aird. So that is what we do. We've endorsed 28 women candidates. We only endorse women. That is our superpower. There are other groups, they endorse women and men. We only endorse women.
Does that you know how I feel about that. I do. I often say, and not so much tongue-in-cheek anymore, I often say you have to look at our history and realize for most of our history, men have been running things. And therefore I feel...
And very badly.
Exactly. And that I knew you would say that, but I agree. My point is you have to look at where we are and where we are not. And you have to make a decision. It's not that I think you should just not vote for a man because he's a man or just vote for a woman because she's a woman. They have to stand for things, as you're saying, pro-choice. But I do think we have to face the reality that in our personal lives, we have learned that mothers and wives are a very important part of every man's life. And maybe we should transfer them to the House and the Senate and let them do what they do personally, do nationally. So I am all for, as Ruth Bader Ginsburg said, 9 women on the Supreme Court. But anyway, I didn't mean to interrupt, except you know how I feel about that, and I'm so glad you brought it up.
Oh, I love that. I absolutely love that. And again, when we are looking at the most personal freedom that we have, the freedom to choose when and if we are going to reproduce, how dare some man who has never and will never go through the experience and isn't a medical doctor be making and casting deciding votes?
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. You nailed it. Absolutely. There is no bridge for them to understand what brings a woman to that decision, to either have a child or to not have a child. Whatever the decision, it should be hers. And I just don't understand. So I'm with you on that. All right. We probably should go to. Let's start another question and answer, but we'll have to cut it and come back to it and finish it. But I wonder what. I don't think I asked you what is the specific. Although I think you've answered this, but what is the specific mission of the National Women's Political Caucus?
Our mission is very simple: to advance pro-choice women as elected officials federally, statewide, and locally, and also to appointed office.
Okay. You know, I think actually that's an excellent place to take a break. This is incredible, Andrea. You always are, so I'm not surprised at that at all. But I just want everyone to hear all about this, the National Women's Political Caucus, and we will be right back with our guest, Andrea Miller. Stay with us. We'll be right back. And now, from WatchFireMusic.com, vocal artist Jenny Burton, singing Who Will Heal the World?
Broken-hearted, build the families,
give back the dignity that's now been taken away.
Who will heal the world? Who will bridge the waters? Who will break the barriers between men? Now you know the
Welcome back to the Reasonable Voices News Talk Radio program. I'm your host, Marcello Rolando, and again, our guest, our reasonable voice today, is political activist Andrea Miller. We've been talking about all the things that she's been doing to help protect our vote, is the overall umbrella. That's what Andrea's always done. But particularly now, finding female candidates, Andrea Miller is now very busy, focused on female candidates who are pro-choice and getting them elected to all levels of government. And that's primarily what we're speaking about today, but we did mention her IT ability and how that is helping the cause with her talents in digital phone banks and texting programs and so forth. So we just mentioned the mission of the National Women's Political Caucus just before taking a commercial break. I wonder now if it seems a silly question for me to ask, but I'm going to ask it. In 2023, and I'll even make myself sound sillier, after the insurrection January 6, 2021, why do you think it is important now to have a National Women's Political Caucus? And of course, we can go through all the states that have given us plenty of reason, too. But I want you to explain it, as you always do, in ways that we all can understand.
Well, number one, the National Women's Political Caucus goes all the way back to 1971. And when the women who founded it, and you are going to know these names, Gloria Steinem.
Oh, yes.
Shirley Chisholm. Annie Lou Hamer, Dorothy Height, they realized that the Democratic Party, even then, was not pushing and advancing the cause and the issues that were important to women. And we needed sort of almost the equivalent, if you will, of a political party that would find women, train women to run for office, and then work to elect them. So if you think about what was going on in the 1970s, and you think about all the challenges that we have now, this is the ideal time for women to step up and run, and women to step up and support and rally around those women who are running. So again, we are definitely, you must be in support of reproductive freedom, but then of course you are going to be in support of voting rights, in support of jobs, in support of clean energy. There's a very long list. But the deal breaker for us, which, as I said, is why, unfortunately, in Virginia, we did not have any candidates that we could endorse this year, is reproductive freedom. If the other side wants to say they believe in freedom, there is no freedom more personal and more basic than that one.
Yes, absolutely. And more singularly focused on women, too. And there again brings up, you know, my point that men just, I have a problem in general with people telling other people what they should think and feel and do. And but certainly that is in stark contrast between a man and a woman when a woman is making that choice and a man thinks he knows best. You know, it's just smacks of ridiculousness. Anyway, but what about these states out there? I know you are headquartered in Virginia, but you do a lot, at least digitally, all over the country.
Yes. Well, we had a wonderful win in Georgia in 2022. So we worked on the Senate race in Georgia. And we have actually done 6 elections since December 1st. So the Georgia Senate race, and then when Representative Donna Keachon died on November 28th, Virginia had to have a special election to fill his seat.
Yes.
They had a firehouse primary on December 20th. Yes, they were going to ask people to go and vote on Christmas week. Now, a firehouse primary means the state didn't run it. The Democratic Party ran it. It was a Democratic primary. And so there were 15 jurisdictions involved and only 8 polling locations. Wow. We still helped to turn out 26,000 voters. There was no early voting. You voted that one day, December 20th, and we were able to help get out 26,000 voters. Was that a big deal? Yes.
Yes.
The party was expecting about 15,000. So there were roughly 11,000 more people showed up to vote than they were expecting. So then after the primary on December 20th, then we had the general that was going to be on February 21st. So we again worked on the general on February 21st, and that was a rousing success. That sent the first African-American woman in Senator Jen McClellan to the U.S. House of Representatives. Then there was a special election to fill her seat, and there was a firehouse primary on a Sunday. We did turn out for that. And then the election day was going to be March 24th, which happened to be the primary election day for a little Supreme Court race in Wisconsin. So we did the Wisconsin primary election, and then on April 4th, we turned around and did the Wisconsin general. So six elections from December until now.
My goodness. Wow.
Yes.
So,
yes, and if we were not digital, there is no way we could have worked in Georgia, Virginia, and then Wisconsin.
Yes, I remember asking you that once, and because it sounded like to me, with all the things that were going on, you were on a plane all the time, and you said, oh, no, I'm in front of my computer. And that is such a, it's such a great use of technology. That's all I have to say. I mean, you can change the nation from your office and your laptop, and that's just, I just think that's wonderful.
Exactly.
I wonder, I'm not trying to put too fine a point on it, but I'm just curious, what is the niche, or the void, I should say, the missing link, if you will, that the National Women's Political Caucus fill?
Well, it's number one, not only do we endorse women, but we also provide candidate training. And now that I'm president of the National Women's Political Caucus of Virginia, and in Virginia, we phone bank, we text bank, we postcard, and we canvass for our candidates. I think that is probably something that's on the newer side, simply because that is where our expertise lies on Center for Common Ground. It was only natural to bring that expertise to the primary election. We always explain to our voters, primary elections let you choose who you want to be on the ballot in November. So our C3 expertise, combined with now we have an organization that does endorse women and does endorse in the primary, really gives us the ability to be even more effective and potentially impactful. So that when there are two Democrats running and one is going to be a great fighter for reproductive justice and the other one isn't, we would never say anything negative about the other candidate, but we can say our endorsed candidate is, and just put a name on it, who is an equality warrior for reproductive rights, voting rights, education equity.
I love that. An equality warrior. I love that.
Yes.
I need to push a little harder, only because I'm just trying to get your opinion. I know your focus is on Virginia now, but I'm wondering, just this morning, I think, we heard on the news that North Carolina had, the legislature at least, had overridden the veto of the governor there and was able to do so because several Democrats joined the Republicans to vote. Tell us about that.
Well, and the reason that happens is when, quote, Democrats, or when Republicans run as Democrats, there are some districts where there might be three or four Republicans running in a primary, but there's no Democratic candidate. I know in Virginia and in North Carolina, in those districts, sometimes a Republican will go, I can go over there and say I'm a Democrat and be on the ballot, versus if I stay over here and say I'm a Republican, I've got to run in a primary against four people. You know,
wow.
I'm going to say I'm a Democrat and go across the street.
and that's legal?
There are no rules that say you can't do that. It's and again, the Democratic Party has no rules against it. The Democratic Party does not demand that in order for you to say you are a Democrat, you must be pro-choice. No, they have no rules.
Gotcha.
You can believe anything you want and still be a Democrat. That is not true of the Republican Party. The Republican Party says there are certain things that you must swear you will uphold and you believe. Democratic Party has no such rules. That's why you've got Republicans running as Democrats and everything else.
What?
Yeah, there are no rules. Especially in the South. They're normally so glad to see somebody willing to say they're a Democrat and run. Also, in many of these smaller, more rural counties, there are no people on the Democratic Party. In my county, in, what was it, 2020, that's presidential election year, they had basically 15 people on the Democratic committee. I have 55,000 volunteers.
Well, that would make a difference, yes. And what yes. And what do these volunteers do? I know we may be circling back to things you've already mentioned, but...
It is our volunteers who send postcards. Our volunteers are incredible because they buy the postcards. They buy the stamps that are going to go on those postcards. They print labels that are going to go on those postcards. And then they hand address them and hand write the messages. Our biggest postcarding years so far was 2020, when we sent 9.4 million postcards. Last year, we sent 3.2 million postcards.
Yeah.
Our volunteers also make phone calls, and our volunteers also send text messages. We have a few volunteer canvassers, but this year on our C3 side, we now have paid phone bankers, people who make the calls as a job, and we want to build a team of paid canvassers, people who are going to go and knock on the door and really kind of make that what they do.
Interesting. Wow.
Yes.
What about, I know there were, with all of the things that you do to help save the vote for everyone in our elections, but you used to also, one of the arms of one of the organizations, I guess, used to also give people rides to the polls so they could vote? Is that still?
Well, we had stopped doing that because there was an organization called Rideshare to Vote that came into that space and was doing a really, really, really good job.
Gotcha.
We may have to go back to that because Rideshare to Vote now seems to only want to work with campaigns that are able to pay for their services. So we may have to look at going back into the business of getting people to and from the polls.
Okay. We probably need to go soon, but I do want to ask again if you can give the Virginians the dates for early voting.
All right. Now, early voting has already started in Virginia.
Yes.
It started on May 5th, and it runs until June 17th. That is the Saturday before Election Day. Every county voter registration office is an early voting location. So generally they're open, figure 9 to 5, some are 8:30 to 4:30, business hours. There will be someone there, and you can just show up with your voter ID, not photo ID, but voter ID, and you will be able to cast your ballot. Now, if you are not registered to vote, but you are a citizen and you are eligible to vote, not a problem. Show up. You can register and vote same day.
In Virginia?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that. I mean, I'm registered to vote, so
that law went into effect July of last year, yes.
Oh, wow.
We have same-day voter registration.
I honestly didn't know that. We've got to talk more often. I'm registered.
You've learned something.
Yes, I have. You know, which brings up another thing I know we've discussed before, which is why I don't know about this probably. I always check my registration. You've often said to us, check it. And, of course, because I vote in every election and primary, I'm in. Well, why don't I let you tell? Voting keeps you there, and non-voting, you better check. Go ahead. You take it.
Right. Well, Virginia is far more progressive than most southern states. In many states, let's take North Carolina as an example,
yes,
or Texas. If you don't vote in two federal elections, you are going to be removed from the voting rolls. I hate, absolutely hate the term voting rights. There is no such thing as a right to vote in the United States of America.
That's right.
You are fantasizing, you live in some other country. In the United States of America, there are many of us who have the ability to vote. And like any ability, if you don't use it, you will lose it.
Yes.
So I always tell people, you should check your voter registration status at least 4 times a year, every quarter, just to make sure that someone didn't mistake you with someone who died or moved out of state and now they deregistered you. So make sure your registration is active. And you can do that by going to elections.virginia.gov. And there'll be a button there, a night screen button, where you can check your voter registration.
Very good. And of course, when the first time Andrea told me this years ago, I started to check all the time, but I found that because I vote all the time, which is another hint,
yes,
everyone, vote all the time,
yes,
and that will not happen to you. But regardless of whether you vote all the time or not, do check your registration. And, you know, early voting is allowed now, and so we should be doing it. But Andrea touched on another thing, which is a biggie, because she's the one who taught me this years ago. Voting is not a right in the Constitution and in the United States of America. It is, like a driver's license, a privilege. Andrea, we really should go, but I want now, you know, I always ask you this and all my guests, but I love it when you are on the show because of your answers. What is it you want us to take away? Because it's been a lot of big news here today, what you're telling us. And to have advocacy and organizations and nonprofits that are focused on equality of elections for women who are pro-choice is a major step in the direction I think we should be going in, but it's a major step. And it must be somewhat alarming to those who do not agree with pro-choice. So touch on that, but also, how do you want us to respond to this? What do you want us to take from this conversation? What do you want us to do with all this information you've given us?
I am loving those questions. The first thing you can do with all this information is go and take a look at our website. We are in the process of launching a new one. So our web address is nwpc-va.webflow.io. I know that webflow, that people like, what? Dot web, webflow.io, dot webflow.io. That will take you to our website. We are statewide. We have regional representatives. You're going to want to go to that website. On that website will be our 28 in every corner of the Commonwealth of Virginia endorsed candidates. And there will be a take action page, which tells you if you want to send postcards, if you want to make phone calls, if you want to send text messages, this is how you do it. It will direct you. And then also, we have an incredible event coming up next week. It will be on Thursday, May 25th. Heather Booth will join us at 8 o'clock, and the event is titled The Road to Richmond, Rally for Virginia, The Road to Richmond. Heather Booth organized in Mississippi with Fannie Lou Hamer.
Wow.
Heather Booth was Jane. So when we talk about reproductive freedom, I'm a little bit younger than Heather.
Yes.
And we both remember when there was no such thing as reproductive freedom, that if you were having a difficult pregnancy and that pregnancy might result in your death, well, as far as the government was concerned, you can die. I mean, it's like, nope, there are no circumstances under which you can get a safe and legal abortion. Now, wealthy women, yeah, they were always able to say something. Women who were not wealthy, they just died. So Heather will be joining several of our endorsed candidates, and we'll be talking about those things and why we have to change where we are right now. So again, this is looking very much like pre-Roe. This is after Roe. It will soon be, we will call it something else. But it's not going to take us 100 years to make this new change. I believe this new change is probably going to be made literally in 5 years, if not sooner.
Wow. Well, that's definitely an upbeat way to end the show. And it takes a lot of work, everybody. You know, it just doesn't happen. But what was it like? What did you say, 56,000 volunteers that came to work?
Yeah, about that.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. All right, Andrea. Andrea Miller, ladies and gentlemen, this has been fabulous. We gave the website, yes. Is there a number to call or email address we need to give?
No, just go to the website.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes.
And that website again is?
Is nwtc-va.webflow.io.
Okay. And the great thing about this, of course, is it's a podcast. You can always pause, go back, and make certain you can check and you got what you got and want to know. This has been grand, Andrea. Andrea Miller, ladies and gentlemen, it's always an informative pleasure to have her on the show. This is just fabulous. Lots, loads of information that we all need to know and get out and vote and help, you know, remind others to vote, you know? All right, Andrea, I guess we better run. I hate to go because it's always so great, but good luck to you and all those working with you, and I hope to be more actively involved as well. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
Marcello, thank you for having me. It is always great fun.
Bye now.
Bye.
And now enjoy Watchfire Music featuring vocal artist Jenny Burton singing Tear Down the House from Is Anybody Listening?
Tear it up.
For the child in you,
innocent
hearts now, we'll build it, we'll build it for all the world to
lose.
What's in the past those who built it did the things they had to do
with the highest intention.
But something happened along the way. Something happened along the way. Something managed to go astray. It's true. Now we gotta tear down the house. Tear it down. We better build it back up on a higher ground. Oh yeah. Tear down the house. Tear it up. And start it again. We're gonna
tear down the house.
We must respect.
Hello, I'm Marcello Rolando, the Reasonable Voice, thanking you for joining us and becoming one of the reasonable voices heard round the world. There's more to artificial intelligence than beards, beer bellies, and AR-15s. When twice-impeached 45's poll numbers and campaign contributions rise after he's indicted, bespeaks sprouts of artificial intelligence planted by puppeteers of insurrectionists, irrigated by Trumpism secretions, and nourished in the excrement of billionaires' blowback benefits by bought-boosted betrayers bereft of biblical behavior, birthing brothels of ratings-craving media as accomplices after illusions of investigative reporting. Further, Fox News stock drops after divorcing Tucker Carlson, but Team Trump Carlson, reassured by bully pulpit offers from RT and Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov, aligned with Americans still womb to tomb for mythical whites-only delusions of grandeur by America First retread. Beware, this all-too-common malady spreads like COVID deniers pleading from their hospital beds to save us from their misplaced loyalty to the big lie before dying from putting their faith in the artificial intelligence of a clutched Bible photo op. Believing the solution to the sum of all fears, financial problems, health issues, racial and cultural conflict, is an AR-15, is artificial intelligence. And assuming we're all alone, outnumbered, in an unending fight for survival against people unlike us who want to take what we have from us, is artificial intelligence spoon-fed to us by people higher up the corporate economic food chain via media mouthpieces for the super wealthy fearing we want something for nothing from them? Addiction to artificial intelligence breeds superiority over others' fallacy like a toxic petri dish. The constant artificial intel programming keeping Americans fighting each other instead of rejuvenating United We Stand encourages ever more violence. 1. Teens can't make a parking lot or driveway mistake without being shot. 2. Parents and children playing in the yard can't retrieve a straying basketball without neighborly gun violence. 3. Children of all ages can't attend school with any blessed assurance that when the final bell rings, it means the end of a school day, not another bloody result of profitable NRA marketing cliches, preferring their bottom line over the agony of parents burying their children. Real intelligence is knowing the difference between right and wrong, and through peaceful assembly and voting privileges, sharing that wisdom on behalf of right, left, and center. Given how much artificial intelligence we elect to Congress and gerrymandered legislatures, indoctrinated by corporate hustles against common decency, media's constantly repeating what is no longer breaking news stokes the fires of racial prejudice, anti-Semitism, and right-wing nocturnal emissions for re-inaugurating another January 6 precursor, 1933's too-big-to-fail bankers' attempt to overthrow America's democracy. Historically, we Americans are both benefactors and beneficiaries of religious hypocrisy, political dishonesty, and what is past is prologue. the only thing that can disengage our hamster wheel existence since the 1970s, is to stop believing America's problems popped up when Trump popped down on a 2015 escalator with a loathing for truth in his wake. Since one man can make a difference, let's cease and desist dredging up men too akin to Hitler, Mussolini, Kim Jong-un, Putin, and Jinping of China. However, it's not icons, but the unnamed, unknown multitudes who have always realized, determined, and delivered America's future if, like Jane Goodall's Hope and Rodney King's Can't We All Get Along, empathy becomes our chosen default. Like voting to train police to shoot practice and human targets below the waist and verify addresses on site before knocking, and divorce all forms of hate speech, and remind liberal media that constantly repeating news of violence incited by conservative media perpetuates more copycat hate-filled domestic terrorism, and elect congressional candidates who impeach Supreme Court justices who've forgotten they, like politicians on corporate payrolls, should be legally required to show and tell. And avoid media that has replaced informing us with manipulating our opinions via hyperbole, political lies, and corporatism's fear-mongering instead of in-depth scientific explanations for coast-to-coast life-threatening weather. Finally, learn from our past. Like gloating, ridiculing, or calling someone stupid does not an ally make. Remember historical gullibility of Americans. Remember devices, if used positively, could project common sense defense against terror-gripped America. And remember to question government and corporate authority inciting, then ignoring violence. Now, above all, reason, and plan solutions for an America dietically connected to challenges created beyond fly-me-to-the-moon billionaires, Exxon and all fossil fuel companies knew, and eating steaks, hamburgers, and almonds. Because ignoring scientific intelligence, Americans overly consuming our inflexible cuisine choices, eating ourselves to death, permitting wealthier nations to ravage the land of poorer nations, now a major source of our food. Thinking we can survive after destroying the world's food chain, the land in non-developed countries, embraces artificial intelligence and portends the destiny we bequeath our children's future. America's future cannot survive our current head-in-the-sand artificial intelligence as we blithely continue disappearing the existence of habitable terra firma. For when the land is gone, human life will perish. I'm Marcello Rolando, the reasonable voice, and I know where my voice belongs. I wish the same for you. Thank you. And join us. Become one of the reasonable voices heard round the world.
Thank you for continuing to listen to, support, and share the Reasonable Voice Blog Talk Radio with family and friends, especially online. We enjoy hearing from you, and in response, yes, we are now accepting new company and business advertisers and welcoming organizations seeking to be one of our sponsors. So please do continue to email us at thereasonablevoice@gmail.com. However, if you prefer to simply make a donation, your donations are greatly appreciated and can be made through PayPal by clicking on the donate button found at the top of the homepage of thereasonablevoice.com website.
Thank you for joining us today to make every day as reasonable as possible. We hope you will download and share our downloadable podcasts. I'm Marcello Rolando, the Reasonable Voice, hoping you will become one of the reasonable voices heard round the world.